let's pray as we dive in tonight. Father, thank you for this day, and Father, thank you for the time that we've had together already today, and God, we thank you for the time that we have together right now. And Father, we come before you with a lot on our hearts and our minds as we consider those of our friends and our family who are in difficult seasons of life and who are in difficult health situations and who are facing surgeries. But God, we come before you as a God who has all power, as a God who knows all things. We come to you as the God in whom we place our faith. And so, Father, bless this act of faith tonight. As we open up your scriptures, as we seek to hear a word from you, Father, we pray that you would bless us. Bless us to know you more deeply, to understand you more fully, and to obey you wholeheartedly. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we talked about justice and mercy and faithfulness. These big ideas that serve as this bedrock of the life of following Jesus as we seek to love God, as we seek to love people. And I want to carry on a little bit of that conversation we started this morning by asking us a question. What is faith? See, because faith is obviously the foundation for faithfulness. But faith is also at the center of justice and mercy. Justice and mercy are core to the heart of Scripture, but without faith driving justice and without faith driving mercy, those powerful things are all of a sudden powerless. That if faith isn't the driving force behind those things, then they are powerless. And so the challenge is for us to bring together justice and mercy and faithfulness with the faith that is rooted in the person of Jesus. And so tonight I just want us to simply explore this idea of faith a little bit. If you are a note taker, you can go ahead and write the word faith down your page. It's an acronym, or at least most of what we'll talk about is, so it makes it easy for taking notes. But before we do that, I want to say this, that faith is a journey. How did you get to where you are right now? I'm not talking about in the building right now, but this stage of your life, this stage of your faith. How did you get here? What were some of those influences? What were some of those defining moments, some of those key forming, shaping experiences of your life? See, faith, it's a journey. It's not just a decision we make in one moment and we're done with. It's not just a destination we reach and then we're finished. Faith is a journey. We will never fully arrive. We will never fully get it. We will never fully understand all of this. When I was a kid, we went to Ocean City, Maryland a few times. It's a trip that my wife and I were blessed to make this year as well. And I remember as a kid, constantly asked that question, you know it, are we there yet? That journey felt like the longest journey in the world. It felt like we were driving for days and days and days, when in reality, it's like an eight-hour drive. See, we never get there in faith, not while we're still living and breathing, at least. We are on this journey. It's a journey that begins the moment we are baptized, but it's a journey that continues from that moment. Baptism is not the pinnacle of our faith. Baptism is the launching point of our faith. It's where our walk with Jesus begins. It's where our journey begins. And so faith, we know, is important to this life. It's important to this life of following Jesus. And so faith needs to be found. Faith has to be discovered. It has to be studied. It has to be tried. There's a story in Matthew 9 that I want us to read together. The story we've talked about not too long ago, but want to come at it at a different angle tonight. So in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18, Matthew tells us that while Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and he knelt before Jesus saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she'll live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, there was a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years who came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And then Jesus goes on to the ruler's house and he eventually raises that girl to life. But I want us to see just how powerful this faith is. For 12 years, this woman had suffered. Luke tells us that she had spent all of her money trying to find a doctor who could heal her, and none of them could. For 12 years, she was an outcast. For 12 years, she was sick. For 12 years, she was suffering. But she said, "If I can just get close enough to Jesus, that I can grab the fringes of his garment, and there's such power in this Jesus that I'll be healed." And that's exactly what happened. She wiggles her way to Jesus in this crowd. We don't really know how. I always picture her kind of crawling on the ground to get underneath these people so she could get to Jesus. And then she's healed. But see, the power in this faith is as Jesus says in verse 22, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And that phrase, "your faith," is the key to this. Our faith has to be our own. It can't be what your childhood preacher said, and it can't be what elders say. It can't be what I say. It can't be what you read in a book. Your faith has to be your own. You have to take ownership of it. You have to find it for yourself. One of the biggest challenges that comes from working with young people, with teenagers, and with college students is that challenge for them to make faith their own. For a couple years, I worked in campus ministry at Ohio State and saw something happen all of the time. There would be good church-going, youth group-going kids who, the moment they stepped on campus at Ohio State, disappeared from faith. They had been there for VBS, and they had been there for Bible classes, and they had been there for devotionals. But they never made faith their own. I remember hearing a story about this woman who was a young girl who was a picture of godliness. She was a picture of spiritual maturity. But then fast forward 10 years from that picture of maturity, and she's lost her faith, and she has no desire to ever get it back again. And yet, sitting on her wall at home are all of the stickers and all of the awards she received in Bible class because of the correct answers and because of the scripture memorization. See, she never made faith her own. And so we have to make faith our own. Because faith is something we know, but faith also has to be something that we apply. It's about knowing things. It's about right theology. It's about good doctrine. All of those things are important. But faith isn't just about knowing things intellectually. Faith is about applying those things daily. In Matthew 21, there's a strange story where Jesus causes this fig tree to wither. And I want us to read what it says next. It says in Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, that Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." See, there's that idea again of the power that lies behind faith. Faith is a powerful thing. But doubt can also be a scary thing. And Jesus here isn't saying that we should never ask questions. Jesus isn't saying that we should never wrestle. I think asking questions and I think wrestling helps us make faith our own. But what Jesus is saying is that we can't allow those questions and we can't allow those wrestling matches and we can't allow those difficulties we have to keep us from obeying. We say a lot around here that if you follow biblical principles, you'll get biblical results. And if you want biblical results, you have to follow biblical principles, even when you don't fully understand it. Even when you struggle with those ideas and with those principles a little bit. It's like that phrase, we need to let go and we need to let God. Because see, our faith isn't in our ability to understand everything. Because faith is sometimes indescribable. in some ways faith is unexplainable. I'm not saying it's all emotion. I'm not saying it's all mysticism. There are huge parts of faith that can be understood. There are huge parts of our faith that we can explain and that we can teach and that we can rationalize and comprehend. But there is mystery here. We are, after all, talking about the Creator of the universe. That's why Jesus says so often, "Let he who has eyes to see, see, and let he who has ears to hear, hear." There is mystery, and we can't always understand all of it. It's about seeing the bigger picture. It's about seeing the thing that is underneath the thing. In Hebrews 11, we are given that good biblical definition of faith, and it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old have received their honor. I'm giving up on that word. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, and so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." We've been talking a lot, and even talked this morning in Bible class, about the incredible reality of spiritual warfare. That so much of what we see going on around us and so much of what we experience in our life is about something deeper than those decisions, and it's something deeper than the politics, and it's something deeper than the culture. There is spiritual warfare going on. And as we seek to engage in this battle, faith is crucial. It's crucial in the spiritual warfare that we've been talking about. And that faith is not faith in what you and I can do. That indescribable kind of faith is faith in what God can do. It's faith in the unseen. It's faith in the deeper reality that God is working behind the scenes. It's faith in the God who has made all things, and the God who is bigger than all things, and the God who is stronger than all things. I was just an hour ago, was in the ICU waiting room with Arlene's family. It's a place we've been before, and you've probably been there too. And in those kind of moments, when our faith is really put on the line, isn't it? And if our faith is in ourself, if our faith is in our government, if our faith is in a leader, whether it's a religious leader or whether it's a political leader or whether it's a community leader, if our faith is in a puny picture of a God who doesn't do anything, then that faith crumbles in that moment. But if our faith is in a God who is bigger than it all, if our faith is in a God who has made it all and a God who is working in it all, then our faith in those moments gives us strength. And our faith in those moments helps us to keep going. Our faith in those moments, when it is rooted in the indescribable, awesome God, allows us to live with a peace that passes any type of understanding that we could have ourselves, because our faith can be trusted. Our life is full of all types of uncertainties. Uncertainties in the political world, in the social world, in the cultural world, politicals all around us. But we know our faith can be trusted because our faith is in Jesus. The story of Job in the Bible is one of the most heart-wrenching stories. Job is caught in the midst of the spiritual warfare, this cosmic battle that's going on. And as a result, Job loses practically everything. His life literally crumbles around him. He loses his family. He loses his possessions. He loses his wealth. He even loses his own physical health. But I want us to hear what he says in the midst of all of this. He says in Job 19, verse 25, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." See, Job, in the midst of all of his troubles and all the terrible things that was going on, had a steadfast hope in God, a hope that stood stronger than the tragedies, a hope that guided him through the chaos. We'll not always have answers, and life is not always going to be easy for us. But we do have a God who stands stronger than all of it. We do have a God who is the everlasting God. We do have a Redeemer who, when all is said and done, will be standing there victorious at the end. Our faith is in this God. And then faith is honored. Hebrews chapter 11 is this hall of fame of faith. And I want us to read some of what Hebrews says. We won't read it all because there's a lot here. But I want us to see the way this kind of faith that we've been talking about plays itself out in some of the biblical character, the biblical hall of fame, some of their lives. So we'll start in verse 4. It says, "By faith Cain offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice." And then it says in verse 7 that Noah constructed an ark. In verse 8 it says Abraham obeyed. And it says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And verse 9 says, "By faith Abraham went to live in the land of the promise." And it says, "By faith," in verse 11, that Sarah received power to conceive. And it says in verse 25 that Moses, by faith, was able to flee the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, verse 29, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute didn't perish with those. So you see, you get the pattern here. By faith, people did something. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, they moved, they acted, they obeyed. There was always that verb there. There was always the verb following their faith. And so as we close tonight, our reflection on this faith that we have been called to, this faith that is rooted in the person of Jesus, this faith that is grounded in the God who is above all things, we can't just leave it alone. We can't just let it live in our heads. We have to make it our own. And so to do that, we need to act on it. And so what do you need to do tonight with your faith? Maybe you need to just let go. Maybe you're trying to control situations in your life that you don't have control over. And maybe it's wearing you out. And so you need to let go and you need to rest. Or maybe you've been kind of avoiding some obedience. Maybe there are some steps you need to take in your life, steps of faith, where the answers aren't clear and you don't know what's going to happen. But it's obedience that you need to render to God. Or maybe tonight you need to repent. You need to turn your life around back to God. And if you've never been baptized, then tonight's the chance to do that. Tonight's that moment, that launching point of your faith, that beginning of your journey. Or if you've already done that and you still need to repent, you need to come back and you need the prayers of the church, we would love to pray with you tonight. So if you need to respond, would you come as we stand and worship together?